episode 281. I'm way off. 282. I missed a couple weeks. Welcome back. It's episode 282 of the Mouse Life Podcast. I'm Samantha, your host for this week's episode, and I'm going to lead us into the news. And after the news, we're going to take a walk down memory lane to last weekend when my family and I went to Walt Disney World with my one-year-old. Tell you guys a little bit about that. So this week I have with me Jeff.
Hello.
John.
Yep.
And of course Shelby, who's going to start us off with the news.
New shops are coming to Disney World for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. In the
Shocker.
Magic Kingdom. Right. They're going to have the Critter Co-op and Tiana's Bayou General are going to be the two new stores at the Magic Kingdom location at the Briar Patch Shop.
We lost you for a minute.
Yep. Yeah, we lost you for a second.
Okay. I don't know what's going on.
Where are the resort
going
to be?
Okay. Critter Co-op is going to, in the former location of the Briar Patch Shop, and Tiana's Bayou General will be the exit gift shop located in the former location of Splashdown Gifts.
How about the beignet shop?
Yeah, no news about that one yet.
Critter Coop. I want to call it the Critter Coop instead of Co-op.
Critter Coop. Right.
That makes more sense.
It does make more sense.
Critter Coop.
I like it. Right. It is now the Critter Coop. Yeah, we're selling all the plushies of the singing animal.
Yeah.
There's cool. Jeff. I don't know, Shelby, do you have the final set of animals?
No.
Oh, okay. Jeff, wait till you hear the names of the frogs.
Well, what are they?
What are you going to tell us?
I have to get it open. I didn't know if Shelby had it or not.
It might leave us hanging.
Patience. Jeez. now my thing's gonna take forever to load. Hold on. Alright, so the final critters of the band, we've got Felipe the frog, Myra the frog, and Jeff, are you ready? Right. Mondo the frog.
Mondo!
We also have Isabel the green tree frog and Larry the armadillo.
Oh, there's an armadillo?
Yeah. Or Larry. He's a mischievous fellow.
What does he play? Does he play an instrument? I mean, it's really silly that the armadillo's not the one playing the washboard, if we're being honest.
I don't know. They don't show a picture of him. They only show the picture of the frogs. Mondo plays the drums.
Of course he does. I don't know what Larry the Armadillo plays, and why is it not the washboard? That's awesome.
Still no opening date.
I think it's gonna be like Memorial Day. I think.
Oh, you're early.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we would have gotten an opening date if we were getting by Memorial Day. I mean, I'll take Memorial Day, but just I don't feel like that's gonna be it now.
You never know. Shelby, do we have any other news?
I have one more here. I have to text yell at my child.
I like that you're saying text yell.
Well, because I can't. You don't want me.
Do you just do it in all caps then?
No.
I mean, that's key, I think.
Yeah.
Child's text. I'm eating. Okay, good for you. Good at bed. The last one I have is that you can save up to 30% on hotel rooms at Walt Disney World this summer and fall. The offer is valid for most nights from July 8th to October 3rd, 2024. You have to have a booking of 5 consecutive nights or more. And that's it. It's 30% off of your deluxes and your villas and 25% off at your moderates, and then 20% off at All Stars and Pop, and 10% off the Little Mermaid rooms, Beach Club, Lux rooms, Poly, and Poly Villas. And be leery if you go and do this because there's not a lot of rooms available.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, just out or?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I tried that morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning and not there. for my client's dates, which were late August, which is weird because nobody's going, but yeah.
Yeah, I looked at several clients' reservations and they actually, because of the ticket increase and everything, save money not taking the promotion. Mm-hmm. So typically that's the way it works. So if you book like the previous year, earlier in the year before the ticket increase, when the promotions actually come out, it doesn't save you any money unless you're going to make like a change. But
oh, so you're better off just staying grandfathered in at the old price.
Right. So like my client who was staying at Pauly, I applied the offer to her reservation. But when I got to the checkout screen, her reservation was actually $200 more with the promo than it was when just rack rate, because since she's booked, the ticket price has increased.
That's gross.
Yeah. Now the one of my clients was thinking about getting a Disney Visa card so she could do the dining plan offer, and I did the math for her and it saved her. It was going to cost them $200 more out of pocket than what they were paying, but they were going to get a better value because all their quick service meals were going to be free for 9 days. So the math worked out that, you know, even though they were paying $200 more out of pocket than what they're paying without the dining plan. Does that even make sense out loud?
No, but okay. We're just going to go with it.
Shelby knows what I'm saying, I think.
Sorry. Yeah.
DTA. They were going to pay $200 more with the promotion than what they were paying, but they were going to get the dining plan. And they didn't currently have the dining plan.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So they're saving. So they were going to pay $200.
Especially over
anyway.
9 days.
Yeah.
Right. And then so yeah. It's over.
So
that.
Basically, so they were paying $200 for their food over 9 days.
Yeah. Right.
For a family of 3 adults and 1 teenager. So they got an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Yeah, they did good then.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, well, you can apply, but I can't guarantee that a room will be here still when, you know, the offer comes in. Yeah, we call this Disney math.
Right, and that's why
the best thing you don't try to do Disney math.
Disney math.
Hey, can someone explain to me what all the fodderall was over the DAS thing?
Oh gosh, yes.
It's official.
Okay, so basically, in the current DAS system that is in place until May 19th, Walt Disney World, is that if you have any type of disability that is not physical, so you have type 1 diabetes, you have POTS, you have anxiety, claustrophobia, autism, ADHD. If there is a legitimate reason on why you cannot stand in line for a long period of time, you can be granted a disability access service pass. So basically what that means is once you're in the park, you can go to your app and select a attraction that has a wait time, and then you're given a return time. And then you can board that ride using the Lightning Lane any point after that return time. So if your return time is 10 a.m., you can go back at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. It doesn't matter. Once you get done riding that ride, you can select your next DAS. Well, because people are cheap and they don't want to pay for Genie Plus, everybody and their mom has an excuse on why they can't stand in line. And DAS use has tripled in the last 5 years. So Disney has now made an adjustment to the program starting May 20th or May 19th that only developmental disabilities are going to be included in the DAS. So basically, this is going to remove most adults from the program because it has to be developmental, meaning like kids, or adults with severe disabilities like Down syndrome or severely autistic adults. So it's our understanding that at this point, things like POT, anything physical, people are being told that they have to rent a wheelchair and they can go through the queue. And if they're unable to go through the queue in a wheelchair, they'll be given a return to queue pass while their party waits in line. And then they'll be given this pass to get to load with their party. That sounds like a logistic nightmare.
It does sound like it. Yeah.
So not real sure. Like people who have a disability where they can't tolerate heat, like a heart condition. So like we were planning on going with my parents in 2026, but my mom has a heart condition. She can't be in the heat for long periods of time. So like she would benefit by being able to wait in a gift shop, like at the end of the, you know, line until it's time for her to ride. Well, she won't be able to do that. She won't be able to get a DAS for that anymore. That's going to, like, my claustrophobia and my anxiety, you know, and people roll their eyes at it, but like, she'll be seen it like in person at the park with me. And like, I'm not eligible for DAS anymore. So that announcement coming off the high of the good time we had on our trip is really, really hard for me right now, because like, I don't know how that's going to look for our next trip, like what our next trip's going to look like because of this. There's a lot of people in the Disney community that are campaigning against this because it does exclude adults for the most part. And when I looked up a list of developmental disabilities, it included autism, Down syndrome, other cognitive disabilities. Disney's response to people who have inquired is if you have a physical limitation, they recommend that you either rent a wheelchair or you take advantage of purchasing Genie Plus.
Yes. So I saw a thing, and I didn't do any research, so I don't know how true this is. So take it with a grain of salt, that he was throwing numbers, well, not numbers, but like general numbers out, how DAS receivers were taking up a gigantic portion of the Genie Plus line.
I'd read that too, and said it was more DAS people in the Lightning Lane line than there were Genie Plus people.
Right.
It was like 2/3 to 1/3.
Yeah. So his theory was they're trying to weed that out, and then he also had the theory they just want to make more money. They want you to purchase Genie Plus. So that was.
Of course they do.
Right. Oh yeah.
Of course they do, but at the same time, you're also not serving the people who need it well if it's just. If the whole park is in DAS, it defeats the purpose.
Right.
You're not helping anybody.
Right. I think it's been just abused so much that they're just done.
Yeah.
This is like a rerun of the whole it's going to hurt the people that need it.
Rent a wheelchair thing, right? Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this kind of develops, like as people are getting turned down. Oh, and the other thing is that let's just say you think that your severely ADHD autistic child can handle it. And then you're on day of your trip and day two, and you're like, no, like we need the DAS. They're no longer doing in person. It has to be done online 2 to 30 days before your trip. So I've just been telling people who I know their kids should qualify. Like, I would rather you just sign up and get
it. Just do
because
it. Because if you don't need it,
because if you guys get there and you need it, there's nothing they can do for you because they're suspending all in-person DAS assistance, like other than like asking basic questions, I'm guessing. But my thing is there has to be a healthier balance here than just telling people you have to rent a wheelchair. Like renting a wheelchair does nothing for me. So like there has to, I mean, yeah, we can buy Genie Plus, but that if they're forcing everyone to buy Genie Plus, then the lines are just going to be just as long, if not longer, because it's going to be flooded with people who buy Genie Plus. I mean, I guess it'll weed some people out who just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, the assumption is that if they're willing to buy Genie Plus, they would have.
I was told by the representative that I talked to on the phone that they encouraged people who have qualified in the past to go ahead and reapply when their trip comes. Because they're going to ask questions like, can you give us a scenario on how Genie, like, instead of just saying, oh, this, and this, like, they're going to ask you, like, okay, so can you give me an instance where this happened and what happened, like, an actual story versus just, I have anxiety, you know? Yeah. So then I would have to tell
and the if they story. Start getting. And if they start getting the same AI-generated story from, 1,000 people a day, they'll know something's up.
Yeah, so she said,
because that's what will happen next, is people will share the story to tell. Yeah.
And it's going to be a third-party company. Disney's no longer going to be in charge of it, I'm guessing. So that's why they can crack down a little bit more. But I guess somebody was telling me that Universal now requires a doctor's note. It's no longer just you used to just call in and explain to the team member what you needed and they would issue it. And then when you went to Universal, you'd go and activate it and that was it. And now they require a medical note from a doctor explaining what your disability is and what accommodations you need. So
that's what I thought it was gonna. That's where I sort of thought it should go anyway.
Oh, I have doesn't no take care of the problem. Doctor's note. Yeah, I mean, I think my physician would have no problem writing a letter saying this is her diagnosis. This is the
I think that solves the problem, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be some shitty doctors out there, but they're licensed. They can't. You know.
I did apply for the DAS this time. The person on the phone said they can see every single time on their end how many times you've applied and been approved or denied. So. They keep a log of that. So I wonder if people who have gone back years with it may have a better chance. But even if, like, you're an annual pass holder and you go the first week of May with your current DAS, you have to reapply.
Yeah. Like, but then there'll be a bunch of people who all of a sudden, you know, became claustrophobic when Genie Plus came out.
Right.
They've been going to Disney for, you know, the last 10 years consistently, and they only had a disability when Genie Plus appeared.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll be able to see that.
I think I started getting DAS after my trip in 2015, and I had a panic attack in line, but I can't remember the date exactly. Or, hear me out, we could just get rid of this Genie Plus surcharge altogether and go back to FastPass, and people will quit being assholes.
Right.
Just thought.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or if they want to make some money, they can say everybody gets 2 free fast passes a day, and then you can upgrade your package for the day, you know, by purchasing Genie Plus. Like, it doesn't have to be a pre-planned thing. It could just say your first 2 fast passes are free, and then you go on. But I mean, I'll get into this in my trip report, but like, we ended up at the guest services stand, and this guy next to me was like complaining that they had Genie Plus and they hadn't been able to write anything all morning. It was like 11 o'clock because every time they went to book something, it would tell them that the time was no longer available and it would give them a way later time. And he's like, I literally spent $200 and something today for my group to have Genie Plus. And it's done nothing for us. So the lady's like, we're sorry for the inconvenience. Here's 3 anytime fast passes per person. You know, so all you have to do is complain. And then they add it to your account. And then you're basically, I don't want to say scot-free, but you're basically like got 3 free attractions you can just go and scan into. And I heard her say something to the other team, the cast member that was there, about how the one girl was training because she had the Earning My Ears thing on. And she's like, so anytime anybody complains about Genie Plus, like basically our go-to is we just set them up with some fast passes or some anytime experience passes and we just send them on their way. If they want to be refunded for Genie Plus, they don't want it. They can go up to guest services at the front of the park and talk to them about it. So I guess there's like tiers of what those guest experience tents can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm team just give everybody free fast passes again, you know, the 3 free like pre-booked fast passes. And then you get 1 after that, you know, you get 1 at a time after that.
I don't know. Maybe it was before it just all, maybe it's all gone to hell since then. But when we went last time and used Genie Plus, it was the best thing they've ever done.
Oh, we had a best in August.
It was the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything. We did everything. The one part we would.
My sister had the same experience and never waited in a line the whole time.
Yeah, no.
I was like, I've yet to use Genie Plus because I do qualify for DAS, so I don't see the point in buying Genie Plus for us at this point. But every person that I've ever talked to has said, other than you guys, has said Genie Plus is a waste of money because
you have to know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is you have to know how to use it. You have to have an idea of what's what. If you go in there blind and start willy nilly throwing stuff around, I can imagine it'd be bad.
But if you're waiting for your time to come up or whatever, and
if you have a knowledge of the attractions and how the lines work and how the park works and all that, if you know what you're doing, it is the best thing in the world.
But the general public are not like us. They haven't been to Disney their whole lives.
That's how you get a travel agent.
That's right.
Yeah, but
I have a whole packet on it.
Oh, you're nicer than I am, Shelby. I don't send a packet. Do the people actually read the packet?
I don't know. I hope so. I haven't heard contrary.
I mean, I have a whole phone call I do with them to explain how to do it. And I have like a flow chart that I give them recommendations, but it's not a packet. I go through the app with them and explain what they're looking at. And then I have like a little chart that was like, that says like, start here, pick from these experiences and then move on. Maybe I should have bought Genie Plus on a trip just to try it out. But
yeah, if you know how to use it, it is the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just so far as knowing where things are and which ones are busy generally and which ones aren't, and knowing what, and just having an idea. I mean, you don't have to be like granular about it, but if you have some clue what you're doing, it works great. If you try and plan your day before you get there and then try and use Genie Plus to make your day happen, I can see that being a disaster. But if you go to the park and be like, I just want to go in there and do everything I can do, and you look at the wait times and the times and just wop your way around the park, you can do it.
Yeah.
That's probably part of the problem. Some people probably go, I'm going to start at this ride, and then I'm going to go to this ride, and then I'm going to go to this ride. And that's not how it's set up. It's set up so that you can pick what to do after, you know what I mean? You pick the next thing. You don't have a list of what you're going to do before you get there in order. That wouldn't work.
Yeah. I think I'm like a very, my touring style has changed quite a bit. We'll get into that.
We don't have any more news.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead into your trip thing?
Yeah. So PM, the baby, and I took a very last minute. We booked 19 days before we left. It felt like an eternity. Trip to Disney World. So we were originally supposed to leave. This is Disney math. Friday evening at 7:30 and be there all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and come home on Monday. And about 10 days before the trip, Cam asked about Oga's Cantina, and I said, if you want to go to Oga's, we're gonna have to add another day because we're going to Magic Kingdom and Epcot, and I'm not giving up either of those parks to go to Hollywood Studios, and I'm not paying for park hoppers, and I don't think we'll use them. So he reluctantly agreed by just saying fine over text message. So then we changed our flight to 5:15 a.m. out of our local airport, which was brutal. We actually woke up at 2:05 to see that Colton was already awake. So like, I think he's getting a little bit more like aware and excited, because I think he was excited. Like, I think he knew what was going on, because I kept saying we're gonna go see Mickey tomorrow, but he was like wide awake and like ready to rumble. There really wasn't anything to report, like getting to the airport, getting through security. However, we were those people on the airplane where my child slept for an hour and then woke up and made sure to let the entire plane know that I done for 45 minutes.
What was he done with? Flying?
Just being like in the airplane. In general. There was absolutely, you know, he's very much a toddler, and you know, we're, do you want a snack? And then, you know, the way he says no is he goes, no, 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 no. So just not, he doesn't just say no. He just obnoxiously says no, 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 no. And like snack, no, drink, no, nothing. So I got up and he was like, why don't you let him stretch his legs, walk up and down the aisle. So of course, at that point, everybody thought he was super cute because he was hi. And everybody's like, hi. You know, as we're walking by, and then the captain came on and said that we were starting our final descent down into Orlando, and we needed to return to our seats and put on our seat belts. And so we went to strap him back in his seat, and he decided to do the whole, I'm going to plank like a tree when you put me in my car seat, and refused to bend my body.
He stiff-boarded to get into the
car seat. Yeah, he stiff-boarded us. Mm-hmm. You know, Cam is stronger than a 2-year-old, but no one wants to look like an asshole to a 2-year-old, right?
Right.
Almost 2-year-old, so
forcefully.
Like, right. He's screaming bloody murder. We keep giving him his binky. Like, we were literally those people. This one lady behind me was like, I started to cry, and this one lady behind me was like, you're doing okay. Like, you're doing everything you can. Like, it's just sometimes that's how it goes. I'm like, thank you. She's like, he's done really well. And, you know, I think he had a little bit of a cold all week, and I think part of it maybe have been his ears. But since he doesn't have the communication skills to tell us that, like, you know, Cam kind of rubbed his ears a little bit, and that seemed to help a little bit. But yeah, he definitely was sure to let everybody know that he I-done. And then we got to the gate. We were 30 minutes early, and we get to the – we're on the runway, and the captain comes – we're just sitting there. And the captain comes on, and he's like, so the flight that – is supposed to be gone is having trouble getting their passengers loaded, so we're gonna need a few extra minutes. We need everybody to stay in their seats. And then that, of course, caused Colt to have a complete meltdown because he was all done, and decided to let everybody know at that instance that again he was all done. And then this guy gets up and goes to the bathroom when we're on the runway, and the captain keeps coming on the seat over the intercom, and he's like, this is a active moving aircraft. You guys need to be in your seats. You cannot get up right now. Like, you cannot get up. It is an FAA violation. So I can hear, we're kind of in the back, and I can hear the guy talking to the flight attendant. He's like, I have to use the restroom. And she's like, you're going to have to wait. And he's like, I cannot wait. And finally, he just pushes back past her and goes into the restroom, and he's in there for 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And the captain's like, I cannot move this aircraft until everyone is in their seats. I don't know how they know that someone is not in their seats. I don't know if they have like a sensor or if they have a
camera. They're telling them. Flight attendants are telling them.
Okay. I don't
know. Constant communication.
So finally, after 10 minutes, the guy comes back to a seat, sits down. And the captain's like, okay, well, now that we've all returned to our seats, we can move out of the gate. You know, I told Kim, I was like, I wish that there was some type of policy. You know how, like, families get to board after the A group? I wish that families of small children had to get off the airplane first. Because every toddler on that plane was so done. They just don't have the regulation skills. Before I was a parent, I'm like, they can wait. And now I'm like, no, they cannot wait because they don't know how to regulate their emotions.
Right. When you're two.
They don't understand. They don't understand. So I think that kids under five should be exited off the airplane at the very first opportunity. All that parent privilege, I guess. But yeah, we stayed at Art of Animation. We originally had a car suite. I asked them to switch us to Lion King. And I just wanted to have a car suite later when Colt is a little bit more appreciative of it. And I like the Lion King section a little bit better. So we were in building 10 on the fourth floor. Building location was great. I got over my relative fear of the Skyliner.
Yay!
There was no panic attacks on the Skyliner this time.
Yay!
I wouldn't say I'm not fearful of it. I just didn't completely sob all the way to Epcot, Hollywood Studios. I would definitely prefer to be on the ground still. Missy. Sorry, she's like licking her paw because everything's blooming here. I mean, so we got to Hollywood Studios. I mean, really, honestly, like, it was a great trip. We ate at Hollywood and Vine. That was one of the first things we did when we got to the park. We had 11:30 reservation. That's when they opened for lunch. So we got there. We got in the park, I want to say, at 10:45. So by the time we landed at 8:30, we got off the plane about 9 o'clock. So it took us about an hour and a half to get from the airport to the hotel and the hotel to the park. So I feel like that was a pretty good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like that took us like a super long time. And then I'm trying to think, what do we do? Oh, we kind of like took like a walk, like we went down Hollywood Boulevard, and then we like went past like Frozen and Indiana Jones. We walked through Galaxy's Edge and through Toy Story Land and like came kind of back around because we were like, didn't want to get on a ride because we were like, well, what if it takes way longer than, you know, in our dining reservation? So we sat down, we got. And it was like a mad rush to get seated. So that was kind of chaotic. But we got seated. We got Colt in the high chair. The server came around and said, you know, got our drink order, brought us our drinks. And then Mickey was kind of making his rounds. And we were right next to the buffet for foods. That was really convenient. But he was like, you'll probably be like the 10th or so table that Mickey, that the characters come to see. So I'm like trying to show Colt. I'm like, Colt, there's Mickey Mouse, you know? And he's like looking around like, what? like whipping his red around. And so Mickey comes around and like tickles his shoulder. And this was like the moment of truth. One or two things was going to happen. He was going to scream bloody murder.
Right.
Or he was going to love it. And he absolutely loved it. He lit up like the 4th of July. I'm really glad Mickey was our first character because I think that he recognized him. I was like, oh my God, he's real. Like, he's real.
Right.
You know? Right. And then Minnie came by and we were eating. And then Goofy came by and he was just ecstatic to see Goofy. Just loved it. I didn't get to see much of Pluto. I was trying to get lunch. Like, every time I tried to get up to get food, another character came by because we were like right there at the front. Shelby, we were on the other side from where we sat.
Okay.
Like, right in front of the salad station. Yeah. So they were like, would do that outer wall and then they would like cross over to us. Mm-hmm. Nice. And then lunch was great. I was like, that definitely set the tone of the weekend, because had he been afraid of characters, I don't know. We rode Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Colt and I rode Alien Swirling Saucers together. He did fine. I held on to him for dear life. He was slipping and sliding everywhere. I was like, oh my God. He rode Toy Story Mania and liked it. Us. He got a hold of we were at like one of those merch stands and he got hold of a Buzz Lightyear toy, like figurine. Mm-hmm. And he had some ketchup in his cup holder because I fed him dinner in a stroller. We had a really weird entrance at Woody's Lunchbox. I'll tell you about that in a second. He dunked Buzz's head in the ketchup. And the cast member that was working the stand was like, I can't put that back on the stand even if I clean it. So you're going to have to buy it. Which I kind of looked at him and I was like, well, what happens if I tell you I can't afford to buy it? And he just kind of looked at me and I looked at him. I said, it's fine. We'll buy it. But like, you know, it happens so fast. You know, toddlers, their little grimy hands are so fast. It's like, I didn't know that Disney had that policy. So like if your kid touches something and it touches food or milk or their mouth or anything like that, you are, I guess, required to buy it. Maybe that's not the policy, but that's what they.
Yeah.
So we went over and got him the matching Woody toy and he held on to those things for dear life for 3 days. Aww. Has he touched them since we came home? Absolutely not. But Buzz and Woody went everywhere with us. And Buzz flies. He makes them fly. It's so cute. We had a weird situation. So Cam wanted Docky Bay 7 and I wanted tachos. So I was like, I'll go walk to Wendy's Lunchbox and I will go make our order and then I'll meet you at Docking Bay 7. And Cam's like, well, it makes more sense for you to stay there and I'll meet you there. So I get a text from Cam and he's like, I'm just gonna stay here and eat my food really quick. Okay, you do that. So I sat at a table and this family came up and asked if they could sit there, extra chairs, because they were busy. And I said yes. And I, when our food was ready, I went to get Cole and I was like, I'll just find a different table, no big deal. And she goes, oh no, we'll hold your thing. Well, I stepped away from Cole, like we were right next to the condiment cart, and I stepped like 3 steps away from him to get ketchup, and like husband started like touching his leg.
Ew.
And I was like, please don't touch my baby. And they were foreign, and he said something about he was trying to climb out. And I said, no, he wasn't. He's buckled in. So I kind of got feisty, and she said something, or the wife said something. I said, well, in this country, we don't touch kids that don't belong to us. And she just kind of like stared at me, and her husband said something into whatever language, whatever. And a few minutes later, they got up and left. But it was like a weird, like, weird. It was totally my fault. I should have never, ever stepped away from him. But I was literally like, I can't even explain how close to him I was. I didn't even have to fully turn my body, like, to grab a couple of ketchup packets. Like, I wasn't that far. It was just a strange interaction. I don't know why it weirded me out so much. I text Cam. I was like, get your butt here right now. Like, I know that I'm safe within a Disney park, but like, I'm a little person and somebody wanted to take my stroller with my kid in there. I don't know that I could run fast enough or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Society's ruined me, like, with that kind of stuff. So then, I really wanted to see Fantasmic. I thought it started at 9:30. It started at 8:30 and I missed it. So that was kind of a sad thing. Like, we went over there to see if we could get a seat and it had already started. And I was like, oh, well, okay. The lady's like, if you want to walk up and see if there's standing room. I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah, but like our touring style with a toddler is very much like it is what it is.
Right.
I didn't get to ride Tower of Terror. It was like a 70-minute wait the whole time, the whole day we were there, and there was just no way that, and with how my DAS works, is that I have to ride or nobody rides. So Cam really wanted to ride Rise, so I rode Rise, and then he went through and rode Rise. And that is like the worst ride to rider swap, because there's no option to skip the pre-show. And a lot of times if you just say like, hey, I'm rider swapping, can I skip the pre-show to save time, they'll let you if they can. And that is when they cannot, because of the way, because you get into that little star speeder thing and it rotates and moves you on to the next section. And it takes like 45 minutes. Like, it's just like a long process. But, you know, it was a good day. We had a good time. Colt said absolutely not to sleeping on his own. So he slept with us all three nights, and my back hurt so bad. But, you know, he's pretty chill kid, like, for the most part. We got up, we did Magic Kingdom the next day. We had Crystal Palace breakfast, which was the worst experience of my life. Really? He loved Eeyore. So I guess so it really depends. I decided that the success of a character meal with a toddler, and maybe John disagrees with this statement, but is that it's really dependent on where you're seated, on how successful your experience is going to be. Because if you're at the end of the greeting line, it's going to take forever. So we just so happened to be in a really good spot for Hollywood and Vine, and it went really fast. We saw all five characters in 20 minutes or less. So at that point, it was just us eating. So when we were done eating, we didn't have anywhere to wait. So we got seated at Crystal Palace on the very right-hand side, almost like I could see Main Street from where we were sitting, but we were on the interior side of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, because they start in the other room.
They start on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come to the other side, they start on the outer wall.
Yep.
And make their way in.
Yeah.
So we were the very last stop for that character. And the lady next to us said to her family, we have been here for almost an hour and have not seen a single character. And I was like, oh, shit. So, because Colt's very much like, once he's done eating, he's, I done, and I'm not going to sit here any longer. Now I know why people bring their tablet to the parks. I used to roll my eyes at that. Like, why is your kid on a tablet in the middle of a theme park? It's because this is why. it's 100% why. So I got berated because as soon as we got him in the high chair, Cam went to the bathroom. When he got back, I went and got Colt's food because he's not going to wait. And when I came back, the waitress had come over to get our drink orders. And she's like, well, you needed to wait until after I took your drink orders to go get food. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. It's been like over 10 minutes and you haven't come by, and he's hungry and he's not going to wait. So then we eat our food. Cam goes up like for two or three different trips, and we have yet to meet anybody. And at this point, the girl next to me calls over her server and she's like, hi, we've been here for almost an hour and a half and have yet to meet a character. So the manager comes over and says, you know, we're sorry. We can only, you know, we try to get the characters to move through the families as quick as we can. But we'll have, you know, Eeyore should be with you guys in the next couple of minutes. Well, at that point, the lady's just like, I want a refund. Like, I came here to meet characters. I didn't come here to eat breakfast, and I have yet to meet a single character. It's been an hour and a half. So the guy agreed to refund her meal, and I looked at Cam and I was like, this is not a good sign. So at the 45 minute mark, Eeyore finally makes it over to us. At this point, my kid is rolling on the floor, running around, acting a complete fool. Pooh Bear is probably 10 minutes behind Eeyore. Colt makes a beeline for Pooh Bear. And the character handler is like, he can't do that. He has to wait his turn. I said, first of all, he's a year old. And second of all, I didn't just let him run over to Pooh Bear. Like, so I grab him before he actually gets to Pooh. And I'm like, buddy, we can't do that or whatever. He just has a complete meltdown, loses his mind. And so I'm like, we're done. We're paying. We're going. So I go out to guest services. I should have talked to a manager when I got, you know, But I was like, whatever. And so I went out to guest service. I was like, that's the worst experience of my life. Yada, yada, yada. Basically, they gave us a fast pass. It's a small world for the inconvenience. And I'm like, if you're charging as much as you're charging for us to have breakfast, it shouldn't take. And they said, well, it takes an average of 90 minutes to 2 hours to see all of the characters at Crystal Palace.
Cool. That's insane. Because they're little kids. Winnie the Pooh is mainly little kids.
Right.
And I mean, really 45 minutes to an hour should be the longest it should take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 hours is insane.
I can't imagine sitting in Crystal Palace for 2 hours. Now, if it was a set of adults and you're like having drinks and you're hanging out and like everybody's chill, like sure.
Right, but that's not the majority of the audience. And the majority of the guests have little kids. You're toddlers. That's aimed at toddlers.
Yeah. And that's just insane to me. So, yeah, we just we rode Tron while he slept in the stroller. So that worked out really well. There was a little girl I felt so bad. She was just a smidge too small to ride Tron. And she was heartbroken. She couldn't go on Tron with her baby or with her cousins. She really wanted to go. That was sad. We got a lot done, but we just didn't we didn't pressure ourselves to get anything done. That was really nice. We also took a couple midday breaks, and that was really helpful because it just helped him recharge. But we did go to Pete's silly slideshow, and Goofy and Donald only had a 10-minute wait. We hadn't met Donald yet. We practically walked right up, and we went to Goofy, and he's got that little airplane set up, and mm-hmm. Colt was telling Goofy all about it. And Goofy's like, you know, laughing or whatever, and I was like, okay, buddy, and all this stuff, and I was like, do you want to give Goofy a hug? And he just ran over and gave Goofy the biggest hug. Aww. And I was shocked. We had the best time. And then we walked over to Donald and got in line for Donald, and he kept trying to run back over to Goofy. I'm like, no, buddy, we can't go to Goofy. Minnie and Daisy had a super long line, or we would have went over there. But yeah, he really enjoyed the characters. And then we watched fireworks as we hightailed it out of the park. Pro tip is to just get a minivan before the fireworks stop, and mm-hmm. it'll be at the curb waiting for you. And you just walk right to the curb and get in, and you miss all the hoopla. That was the best pro tip of my life.
He rode the roller coaster.
Oh yeah, he rode Barnstormer. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he did fine. He didn't cry or nothing. I mean, he wasn't overjoyed, but like he didn't seem to mind it. The girl actually asked me how old he was. I said he'll be 2 in June, and she goes, "He's a young one. We usually get him like 2, 3." And I was like, "Yeah, he's a tall guy." My mom was horrified that we put him on a roller coaster.
Barnstormer.
Yeah, I'm like, it's Barnstormer, Mom. We almost put him on Autopia with Cam, but because he was tall enough to ride with a driver, but I was afraid that he wouldn't sit.
Oh yeah. He might try to crawl out.
Yeah. I was afraid he was going to try to crawl out.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can sit on my lap with like buckled into me. So I was like, meh, that's going to be like a next trip situation. But yeah, we had a good time at Magic Kingdom. And then Epcot, we got there before the park opened and got early access on accident and went over and met. Oh, this was the first time that first trip I'd been put with other people in the Skyliner. So that was kind of mm-hmm. interesting. Some people were very friendly and wanted to talk, and some people were like, nope, don't mm-hmm. even talk to me. Don't even look at me. So I'm like, okay. You know, we're very Midwestern, so we'll talk to anybody, and then you can just tell. So we rope dropped meeting Pooh Bear and his new Winnie the Pooh meet and greet, which was Christopher Robin's room, which Colt was so excited. If you haven't seen the video, I'll send it to you guys to see Pooh Bear. But the funniest thing was when we went into Christopher Robin's room, he wanted to play with all of his toys.
Of course.
He kept going over to the trucks and like trying to get the trucks out. I was like, buddy, this is not a real bedroom. You can't play with it. And then he kept trying That's to climb awesome. Up on the... And the attendants were really, really nice. The only thing that I thought was weird there was they didn't have a photo pass photographer.
Oh, no.
Or even like a box. Like it was just the two. I mean, the character attendant was like, I can take pictures for you. I'm like, where's the photographer?
Didn't he just recently go back there? So it's they probably don't have it back yet or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
they probably don't have anybody, enough people hired to probably have a photo pass.
There was another lady who came when we were waiting back there, came, and she was like, what are you waiting on? I said, oh, Pooh meets in here. She's like, oh, really? And then she called her son and was like, Pooh Bear meets back here, and there's only one other family in line. So we had already gotten in by the time that, you know, they called and ended up being okay. But I thought we were going to see Wendy, or not Wendy, Mary Poppins and Alice back there, but we didn't. We checked a couple of times. I kind of looked around for the princesses this time and, like, didn't see anybody. Then we walked over to meet Mickey Mouse, but he wasn't there till 10. And then we saw Daisy and Minnie, but their lines were so long. Mm-hmm. And then I had seen on TikTok that at the American Adventure, they have like this like walkway kind of in the back and to the left of Regal Eagle. And they bring out rare characters like Geppetto, the penguins from Mary Poppins.
Oh, cool.
And so we kind of checked back there and didn't see anything. Speaking of Regal Eagle, we stopped there to get Colt some dinner. We got him the mac and cheese kids meal. It was phenomenal. I think I ate more of the mac and cheese than he did, but it was really good. I don't know that I'd spend the money on like actual barbecue there, but for like mac and cheese and fries and watermelon and a drink for $7, like that was a pretty good deal. I told Cam, I was like, I'm kind of sad that I didn't get my own meal. But like I said, I ate most of it. And then, yeah, we rode Figment and he liked that. We rode Living with the Land. He seemed to be really interested in that. He likes to ride the boats. Cam and rode Soarin' while he ate lunch. We got him lunch at Sunshine Seasons. We got him the pizza roll up. And that was probably the most disgusting thing I've ever tried at Walt Disney World. I was like, this is not even passable as food. What is happening? That quick service used to be the best. They used to have a chicken Caesar salad that was incredible there. And I don't know what happened, but it's very sad now. And I got him a fountain drink so I could get a Coke. And I went back to refill it. And they're very strict. They don't let you refill it anymore. Because I've always had good luck of asking the cast member, can I just refill my drink? And they'll say yes. I just go back and refill it. And this lady was like, no refills. And I was like, really? Okay. We rode Nemo. He really liked to see the fish. We had a total meltdown at Nemo and ended up having to go back to the resort for a little bit. We got to see like all, I didn't get to see the Walt statue in Epcot. I got distracted by this performance of these birds, like these women dressed as birds dancing around. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is happening? I have no idea.
Oh, we talked about that last week.
And there was just, it's a very congested area. We went through the Moana walkthrough. He really liked that, but it was only like 60 degrees when we went through that. There were kids that were like playing and getting soaking wet, and I was like, no, you're not. No. Nope. Sorry, mommy didn't come prepared for that. We stopped in on our way out. We stopped and watched a little bit of the new show at Epcot. It was awful.
the nighttime thing?
Yeah. The music, part of the music was okay, but it was just like so boring compared to Harmonious. Everything was just kind of like slow and like, I like upbeat stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Harmonious was really upbeat and this is not most terrible. Sorry, it's like the most boring trip. I mean, we had like the best trip. It was just, it happened so fast that it kind of was like we were there and then we weren't anymore.
How do you do on the flight back?
Okay. We checked his car seat, let us sit in between us. It was pretty cute. He kind of just, as the flight was taking off, he kind of just curled up next to me and put his feet up on the thing and just like conked out in my lap. And he slept for about an hour and 10 minutes of the flight. And then he woke up and then he had a moment of like, I'm done. And he watched some Toy Story and had a snack and he was a little antsy there for a minute, but he made it. I'm a little nervous about May. I'll take better notes for my Alaska trip report because that's going to be a big one.
How long is that flight? Is it a direct from?
No, I wish it was. So we go out of Vancouver. So we have to fly from Kansas City to Denver. It's about an hour and 45-minute flight. And then we have a two-hour layover in Denver. And then from Denver to Vancouver is like 2 hours and 45 minutes. but I think he's just gonna. So I called my pediatrician and left a message this week with her, just kind of told her what happened on the flight, and because we had seen her a couple days before Disney to make sure he was healthy enough to go. And I told her what happened, and she's like, yeah, he's gonna get a half a dose of Benadryl.
That's what I was gonna say. Benadryl.
Flight. She's like, I definitely don't recommend this like on the regular, but obviously he's not ready to like be a good flyer yet. So she's like, just to kind of like, she's like, not a full dose, just a half a dose, just to chill him out a little bit.
Take the edge off
a little bit. But we don't leave Kansas City till 5 p.m. So it'll be a little bit of an interesting.
He'll be ready to sleep anyway for the second flight.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that we can hopefully keep him awake on the 5 p.m. flight.
Yeah.
We're going to like pack him like some snacks and stuff and then let him like get some dinner in Denver. And then hopefully from Denver to Vancouver, he's going to zonk out for most of the flight. Our only concern is that if we get to Vancouver and he wakes up, he's going to be wide awake. So I think I would almost rather him zonk out on the way to Denver and be awake than like the whole flight from Denver to Vancouver. But I'm hoping since he's going to be tired, he'll be like okay to watch his tablet and like just like hang out and not be, I don't know.
Done.
I think everybody should just pray for us is really. But oh, yeah, I mean, he's a Disney kid at heart, which is a great thing. I was 9:05. I talked for way longer than I thought.
That sounds like a good trip.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the pictures. Oh, my God. The pictures of him with the characters was so adorable.
Yeah.
And Cam and Ogus.
Cam had the best. Colt slept the whole time we were in Ogus pretty much, and it was great. The server kept saying, I don't know how he's sleeping through all this noise. I'm like, I don't know either, but I'm not going to fight it.
Right.
We got sat at a booth. With a mother and a daughter who was 17, and then a dad and a mom, and their two like boys. One was 21 and one was 24. I'm like, oh my God, I feel really old right now.
That's because we are old.
Yeah, we are old. It was a really great, it was a really great fun trip. And when Cam said, when we go next time, he's gonna, we need to be there longer. And I was like, yep, pretty much. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds great.
I'll close this out. Well, now that everybody has listened to me talk for an hour, we will see you real soon. Follow us on SoundCloud and iTunes for the latest episodes.
Yay!
Yay!
Mouse Life's theme music provided by Shadows of Life.